Is this thing the way that you said it is? Is this thing called faith really what you said it is? If it is, God, then I'm going to take you up on your word that if you really said that we ought to, as your children, have faith, then God, we need to believe that you can do exceeding and abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. God, if this thing about faith is real, if it's real, then we as your people ought to be able to come to you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of filing under Chapter 11. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of filing under Chapter 11.
Let's just pick out a few key examples. Verse 7, by faith, Noah being warned of God. What did he get? First and foremost, he got a word from the Lord. He didn't just go act on his own. He got a word from the Lord. Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Who called him? He didn't call himself. His wife didn't call him. His daddy didn't call him. His children didn't call him. God called him. So after he received the call, what did he do? He went out. What did he have first? He had a word from the Lord. Noah had a word from the Lord. Abraham had a word from the Lord. Verse 17, it says here, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises. What promise? The promise from who? The promise from God. He received a promise from God that when he received the promise, he offered up his only begotten son. So I'm here to tell you today, saints, that if we are going to be filed under chapter 11, that first and foremost, that we've got to get into a place where we receive a word from the Lord. And that's the problem with a lot of God's people today, is that they're not lining up in a place where they are in a receptive mode. You see, God is on 106 FM and you're on 860 AM. You need to change frequencies. You'll never hear what God says as long as you're on a different frequency. And so the first thing you have to do is you got to get on FM. I had somebody tell me one time, Pastor Glaze, I've been trying to find your radio program. I done searched up and down the dial looking for it. And I said, well, what are you looking at? He said, I'm looking on the FM. I said, well, you're never going to find me there because I'm not on the FM frequency. You, brother, got to jump over to AM. And then once you get over to AM, I can tell you exactly where you need to go. And see, that's the way it is with faith, that you can't begin to exercise faith until you get on the same frequency as God. If, you know, so I'm going to preach a message. I'm going to preach a message one time. Don't be at the airport when your ship comes in. Don't be at the airport when your ship comes in. And see, sometimes we at the airport and God is over here coming in on the ship. And we're in the wrong place. And so in order for us to receive the promise of God, you know, we first got to put ourselves in a position where we can receive it. You know, we've got to put ourselves in a position where we're hearing God. And then once we hear God, you know, then we got to get a word from God. You know, and once again, I'm going to say something about this getting a word from God here in a second, but I believe that that's a scriptural thing, that God gives you something, that God gives you something beyond a shadow of a doubt. Oh, I know you're getting tired of hearing my testimony, but I got to tell it again because it's going to help somebody that hasn't heard it before. On my way to Atlanta, Georgia, football coach at Liberty University, driving down, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, turn off the radio, turn off the music. And as I was traveling down the road, the Lord spoke to my heart. The Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, I want you to get a doctorate degree. He said, I'm going to let you teach at a university, and I want you to pastor a church. Clear, man, it was in my heart. It was in my spirit that the Lord spoke to me that. Now, I didn't hear a voice. He didn't tell me to turn the radio off so I could hear a voice out of the radio. I didn't hear a voice out of the radio. It was just in that still small voice in the quietness of my heart that God came along and he confirmed that in my heart. And so I had a word from the Lord. I knew that it was from God. And praise God, since then, he has allowed me to do all three of those things. And I wrote that down. That day I was driving down the road, I wrote it down, and I still got it, still have it. See, for you've got to get a word from God first. And you got to know that it's from God. And God is not going to give you a word if your life is filled with sin. God is not going to give you a word if you're living a life of disobedience and rebellion. He's not. See, folks say, well, you know what? I got a word from the Lord. And you're living in all kind of disobedience and rebellion. You know, see, God get blamed for a lot of things he's not doing. You know, people say, a lot of people, well, God told me this, and God ain't told you anything. Excuse my English. He didn't tell you anything because you're not walking, you're not fellowshipping with him. In order for you, the only word that you might hear from God is repent, get right. That's the word that God is telling you. I would be afraid to move out and act on something and say, God told me to do something if I'm not walking with God. You know, the only thing I would do is if God was telling me to do something I hadn't already done that he told me before, then I need to get busy doing it. But I don't need to be, you know, seeking the word from the Lord until I first line up. And my heart got to be in the right place in order for me to line up. So the first thing you got to do is that you got to receive the promise of God. You got to receive the promise of God. It says that each one of these individuals, that they received the promise. Now look at verse 1. It says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So number one, you've got to receive the promise of God. Now watch this here. This is very important. Secondly, you've got to embrace the promise. All right? He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now look at your notes there with me, and we're going to get deep for 1 second. Just stay with me for 1 second. Put on your deep minds now. You know, when I'm shouting and trying to, you know, get us excited, we can put on the shallow mind. But now we want you to put on the deep mind, all right? Let's go down into this thing with me now. The child of God must embrace the promise of God as if he already has the thing that is promised. All right? The word faith, okay, faith is the substance. What is this Greek word here? The Greek word is hypostasis. Well, what does that mean? Well, I broke it down. I put it in three columns down there so you could understand it. Hypostasis comes from a Greek word hypistemi. And it comes from, this actually is a combination of words. Hupo, which means under, and histemi, which means to stand. And so what is the word that's used here when it says substance? When it says faith is the substance, it says that faith is the thing that, check this out now, that stands under what you're waiting to receive. That if you don't have faith, faith takes the place of the thing that you are to receive. The exegetical meaning in the middle column, that which becomes the foundation for another thing to stand on. That's what this word hupestemi means. It means a foundation for something else to stand on. That without faith, the thing that you're hoping for will not come to pass. Why? Because faith at this time is the substance. And so faith stands under the thing that is promised to you until it becomes a reality. Now, I was asking the Lord, how can I make this thing clear? I mean, I try to break these Greek words down and make it clear. So I asked the Lord, how can I make this clear? And this is the Lord told me. In my hand, I have a $25 gift certificate to Red Lobster that somebody gave me. All right. So we'll see all the members of that Red Lobster after church today. All right. Now, with this right here, You know what? I got a meal at Red Lobster. I got a meal. But Pastor, where's your lobster at? Where's your baked potato? Where are your vegetables at? Where's that good cheese bread at? It's right here. But I don't see it, Pastor. Where is it at? I don't see it. It's right here. I can go to Red Lobster when I leave here today, sit down at the table, and say, give me the lobster fest and the salad with ranch dressing. Give me a raspberry lemonade and I'll put it right here. But Pastor, I don't see it. This card represents the fact that I have a dinner at Red Lobster. So faith represents, it stands in the place of the thing that you are trusting God for. Now, I did a prerequisite to this whole thing by saying that first of all, you got to be where you can hear from God. And then secondly, you got to hear a word from God. Now, see, if I've heard from God and I've got a word from God and God said that he's going to do such and such a thing, then my brothers and sisters, it's as good as done. And it's like I tell people, if God tells you to buy the moon, go out and sign the loan because he's going to make the payment. See, faith, your faith stands in the place that if you know that you know that God has spoke to your heart about something and he said that he's going to do such and such a thing for you, if and you have the peace and assurance and the confidence that God is going to do it, then until that thing happens, your faith has to stand in that place. Faith is the substance. Faith is the hypostasis. Faith is the thing that stands under the thing that you're trusting God for. Now, we got to be careful. And I'm going to take a second here because I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. And I hope to God that I don't offend anybody this morning. It's not my intention to offend anybody. But if you'll turn your paper over, you see, there are some things going around today, and I think this is where people get into trouble when they look at Hebrews 11 and start claiming stuff and start talking all this stuff, and it don't happen, then they get frustrated and discouraged because they don't understand how God works, and they don't understand what the scripture is saying, all right? Now, once again, up front, if you're here and this is where you're at, hopefully you'll have an open mind and consider what I'm getting ready to say, because I think that we've gotten off a little bit. Not Bethany, but I think that the Church of Jesus Christ has gotten off on this whole idea of the word of faith. Well, what is it? Well, first of all, the word of faith about God, they believe that God is a supernatural being who operates by spiritual law and who can be influenced by men and women to accomplish their desires. See, there goes a problem right there. Right out the gate. That it's not what I want. You know, I mean, it's not what I want. It's what God wants for me. That once I understand what God wants for me, and I line up with his, and you know what? God wants good things for his people. He said in Jeremiah chapter 29, he said, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of peace and to bring you to an expected end. In Matthew chapter 6, they said, what man, if his child come and asking for some bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? God won't do that. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that love him? So God wants to give you good things. God has good things lined up for your life. God has something great lined up for Bethany. But you know, we can't go and say, well, this is what we want, and then go tell God that's what we want. It don't work that way. You don't tell God what you want. You go and inquire. Man, we on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock, there's a song that I've played a couple of times. Psalm 27 and verse 1. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and listen to this, and to inquire in his temple. What does it mean to inquire in the temple of the Lord? It means that you come and you seek God's will. You seek his direction. You seek the way that he wants you to go. That's what it means to inquire of the Lord. That when you come and you inquire of the Lord, then God lays on your heart which way he wants you to go. You don't go and tell God what you want. You know, God already got, he got a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And the thing is that many of us, and I'm including myself in this group right here, many of us have already worked our plan, and we see that our plan don't work. I know my plan didn't work. I'm so glad that God had a plan. I mean, if I had a plan, I'll be honest with you, I'd have played professional football. If I had a plan, I'd have been one of the baddest linebackers to ever come out of the NFL. If it was my plan, that was my plan. But see, that wasn't God's plan. God had another plan. And so we can't come to God and tell God what it is that we want. You know, we first have to come. Now, you don't see anybody in Scripture coming to God and telling God. Look at all the examples. The example and the premise is set that we seek God. We seek him, and then he lays on our heart what it is that he wants for us. Jesus, God's son who came to earth to deliver man from sin, sickness, failure, and poverty. All right, I'm not going to, let me move on to faith. Faith is, now here we go, a spiritual force or power that can control the creation, command angels, influence the future, and even manipulate God. That through my faith that I can make things happen. Through my faith, I can determine what needs to take place. And through my faith, I can speak it into existence. And what they believe is that, you know, faith is the force, and that my words are the container. And my words, when I speak it, something happens. And a lot of times they go down into, let's see, where is that? Verse 2, I believe it is. Look at verse 3. It says in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And so, word of faith people believe, well, look, God spoke the universe into existence. God spoke the world into existence. And if God spoke it, and go, look where it says man, the second one up from the bottom, man. What is man? Man is a potential God. So if I'm a potential God and God spoke things into existence, then guess what I can do? I can speak it into existence. Nowhere in the word are we told that we can speak something into existence. Now, I want to clarify this because I believe that we can speak negative things into people's lives. I believe that the proverb said the power of life and death is in the tongue. So you have the power to speak life to a person as far as building them up and encouraging them, or you have the power to speak death, to destroy somebody. I believe that even you have the power to speak yourself into something or speak yourself out of something. That if I believe and I say, you know, I believe that God is going to help me to do this, and I'm claiming it by faith, then I believe that there's something good there. And I believe likewise, if God is calling you to do something, you say negative words, I believe that they can take you away from what God has for you. But I don't believe that through our words that we can manipulate and we can speak and make things physically happen. Only God can do that. We don't have that kind of power. If we got that kind of power, then, you know, we need to go on to heaven and help God out with some of the issues that he got down here on the earth. No man has that power. And so we need to be careful when we think about faith. I'm not talking about you being able to speak something into existence. I'm not talking about you being able to speak and make something happen. That's not what faith is. Faith is first and foremost you hearing from God and you getting a word from God. And once you get that word from God, then you move out on it. Then you move out and say, man, I know that this is what God gave me and I'm going to move on it. Not that I know that this is what I want. Now I'm going to make it happen. Do this, God. You know, sometimes we think God is a heavenly bellboy. You know, we can just direct him and do this and that and give him a tip when we get done. Don't work that way. This thing of faith. And that's why I believe that as we seek God's direction. Now let me say this. Now, see, here goes another one of these messages. not going to be able to get through this morning. Let me say this. That I believe that with all that Bethany is doing, man, I was telling somebody this morning, sometime on Tuesday when we open up the food pantry, where the gym door, they go in and go into the gym, the line is back out the gate into the parking lot. People standing out there coming to get food. On Friday afternoon at the Master's Kitchen, 90 people coming through the door to eat. I went back there Friday, sat down and was eating. Two people came up to me, and I was just in there for about 10 minutes. Reverend Glaze, man, we appreciate so much what you guys are doing. You don't know how much this means for us to be able to come here and get a meal. Man, you know, and as I look at that and I say, God, man, we're just trying to do what God wants us to do. You know, we are trying to do the will of God. KUC, all the community kids that come in for KUC, the basketball. Man, yeah. See, to me, as I look at it, I know that God got something for us. Man, God got something. See, you know, if we wasn't doing anything, if we were just sitting back, not doing anything, then I would say, well, you know, the parliament said, let's just go tear the roof off the bad boy and let it fall down to the ground. You know, let's just let it fall to the ground. But we're trying to do something for the Lord here. And I believe with all my heart, I have faith that God has something for us. And we've got to discern what it is that God has for us. And then once we do that, then our faith stands in the place of that thing until we get it. Man, you know what? We kept on having Sunday school classes when we just had this building right here, folk running over the rafters. We kept on having KUC. Why? Because we knew by faith, we knew that there was a building coming across the street. And by faith, we kept adding ministries. By faith, we kept expanding. By faith, we kept opening the doors for ministry. And God put the building over there, and we done filled the building up with ministry. Man, yesterday, every young man's battle and every young woman's battle. I'm going to have one every pastor's battle. Whatever. Man, it was packed. Man, you can't tell me that God does not have something good for Bethany Baptist Church. You can't tell me that. And so once we get that discernment and we figured out what it is that God specifically is telling us to do, then we got to put on the song. Ain't no stopping us now. We on the move. We on the move. And the writer of Hebrews says that faith is the substance. Faith is the hypostasis of things hoped for. The evidence. Oh, I haven't even got into that word evidence. We'll pick that up next time. That word evidence, let me just say a little pre-taste. Make sure you bring your notes back next time too. A little pre-taste, evidence. That word evidence actually means conviction. And we're going to look at that, look at some powerful things concerning that. So, saints, I don't know about you, but I want to file under chapter 11. I want to file under chapter 11.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Filing Under Chapter 11, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Filing Under Chapter 11, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Filing Under Chapter 11. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Filing Under Chapter 11. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.